So, hello and welcome to a very special episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends ask each other questions of dubious length. Normally, Soren and I ask each other questions, but seeing as it is a holiday, we decided to do less work. So, we're doing what a lot of podcasts do around this time of year and hosting a mailbag episode where we take your questions. These questions have been solicited and recorded by Bacon, who will be reading them. We have not seen these questions in advance. We're going to answer them. But before we do that, I just want to check in with my co-host and ride or die buddy for life, Soren. What's up, Soren?
Hey, how's it going? How's your holiday season?
Good. By the time this episode comes out, which will be right around New Year's, I will have hosted my parents for Christmas Day. The first time I've hosted anyone for Christmas Day.
Where are they sleeping in your bed?
No,
you're sleeping
on the floor. They're staying in a place in Jersey. They're just gonna come here to like hang out.
Oh, okay.
I'm gonna make some food. I think maybe pork shoulder, but I'm not sure yet.
Oh yeah, that's very exciting.
But seeing as it's New Year's, and before we get into the questions from our fans, DOBs, devotees, and the sworn swords of Soren, real quick, have you ever
don't call my fans ever, that? The Soricide Squad, you know that.
Have you ever done a New Year's resolution, like actively, like I'm gonna do this and stick to it? Really?
It's humiliating every single time. It's something I try and just do quietly and by myself because I know I'm gonna fail at it.
Like what?
Well, it'll be like last year I was like, all right, this is the year you buckle down and you really try and get a literary agent. This was like long before any of the stuff blew up with the WGA. But I was like, this is when you buckle down, you get a literary agent. And then I did absolutely nothing to further that. Within like the first week, I was starting to try and do some things and then I just gave up on it. Or the year before that, I was like, this is the year where you write three different pilots for three different genres. And maybe that was too ambitious, but I didn't write one. So, yeah. I don't know.
I mean, I wouldn't. No,
I've
never done a New Year's resolution. It's possible I did when I was much, much younger, but it's never been a thing that held any kind of appeal to me. I don't know. Yeah.
That's great. That means that your life is going the way you want it to.
Yeah, let's say that. I have one thing I've done that it's not even a long con. It's just a thing that I've done since literally middle school, is just right around New Year's, I've decided this is the year of Daniel. And it's like, I would proclaim it. This, like going back to 1998, would say, okay, guys, it's almost 1999. 1999 is going to be the year of Daniel. I've decided it. And then I've done that every single year since then. And it's been a tweet that I've made since Twitter has existed. Just like, I'm going to preemptively call it 2008, year of Daniel. 2009, year of Daniel. I've always done it. I think
oh, man.
Maybe like two or three people have caught on to the fact like, hey, I think he does this every year.
I think I may have accidentally stolen your joke at least once then, because I did tweet at some point, I regret to inform you that year 2016 or whatever it was, this summer of 2016 was not in fact the summer of Soren. And
I mean, that's a good spin on the
joke. I think maybe I'd stolen that from you.
But anyway, we're going to get into a bunch of questions from you guys, our listeners, and we haven't even been around for a year. We've only been doing almost 30 episodes, and it's still been a lot of fun, not just talking to Soren, but also reading your reviews, reading your comments, and talking to our listeners and finding out what you guys like, what you're into, and sort of, I think, together developing what this podcast is, because we weren't really sure at the start.
Yeah, I think that's true. I've sort of built it around what the opinions of people. Bacon just the other day told me that there was a review online where somebody had said, they talk a lot about being rich. And I was like, oh, motherfucker, they don't know what's a bit. Oh, that's sad. We're not doing that bit anymore. Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Join the millions of students already learning on Skillshare today with a special offer just for our listeners. Get 2 months of Skillshare of premium membership for free at Skillshare.com/QQ.
But let's now get into questions from our wonderful, amazing fans and patrons who have supported the show from the beginning. And Soren and I don't know what the questions are. Bacon is going to read them, and we're going to answer them. And that's going to be the whole fun fucking show.
Yeah. So the first one is from @tally_burger. They ask, do you ever find yourself saving a particular item for last? For example, I love the candy dots, and it really bums me out if I can't enjoy a pink one last. So I'll go out of my way to preserve one.
I always order things from least preferable to most preferable. The example that sticks out in my brain right now is just because I came back from North Carolina. I was visiting my parents, and we went to a brewery to get like a beer tasting thing. And I do the thing that I always do when I do like a flight of beer. I take a sip of each, and then I order them in the way that I want them. So drink the ones that I like the least first, and then save the best for last. Everything that I do is about delayed gratification.
Oh, order, yes. Like rearrange them. Okay. I was about to be worried for you. I thought you were getting a flight. You were drinking the flights and then you're ordering each one of those drinks individually and saving them. I was like,
Daniel, come on, man. And I was like, okay, this one beats this one.
Yeah.
This one beats that one. And then
okay.
Make sure the last one I have is the best one.
Yeah. I have a child's taste, child's palate. So I eat a lot of sugar cereals and I still eat Fruit Loops and I still pull marshmallows out of the Fruit Loops, at least a few of them that I could just fit in my hand, like a good sizable amount of marshmallows that I can all stuff in my mouth at the end. So I have that taste in my mouth.
Do you want to hear about like a missed opportunity of $1 million idea? I learned this from my buddy, Chris Bergnola, who runs a junk food review blog called Junk Banter, which you could find online and on Instagram, Junk Banter. They sold marshmallows that purported to be like Lucky Charms marshmallows. Like you could buy a bag of them, but it's fugazi. It's just normal marshmallows with a couple of different colors to them. It's not like a large sized Lucky Charms marshmallow thing. If you actually sold Heart Stars, horseshoes, clovers, and blue moons in like normal size in a bag of marshmallows, that's a $1 million idea, but no one's doing it.
Yeah. With that dehydrated, crunchy taste to them. Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, that's a great idea. All right. Fuck this podcast. Let's do that. Sorry, Gabe. Sure, we could find a job for you. Maybe there.
Gabe knows a marshmallow guy. Okay, the next one is from JD_JD Burrows. He asks,
"Oh, he's been around for a long time. He's a huge fan from way back."
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that name is very familiar.
He asked, I thought it was a good question. He said, if they Freaky Friday'd you guys, I don't know who they are, but if they Freaky Friday'd you guys, what would you do while you were the other person?
I mean, I'm not going to do anything with Soren's family. That's a very strange thing to do.
You'd have a kid.
That's what I'm saying. I thought you're definitely going to answer.
That's exciting. Like I would probably play with Ronan as much as I could, but if he's in school, I'm not going to do any housework for Soren. I'm not going to spend any of my downtime doing that. I would say, here's the thing. Here's a tremendous difference between Soren and I is that I am very bottom heavy. I got really thick legs and a world-class dumper. So there's a lot of weight down there that holds me back from a lot of things. So I think if I was in Soren's body and I had his body, I would do some climbing just to see how high I can get and how fast I could get there, because he's got the body of a climber. So I would go to like rock gyms and I would find a bunch of trees to climb, because I'm held back by this galactic dumper and these thick ass tree trunk legs of mine.
I have bird bones basically too, Dan. I'm very light.
You're so light.
You just
so fucking light.
Throw yourself up stuff.
We did it. Soren and I did a race together, and part of it involved I carry him for 50 yards, and then he carries me for 50 yards. And it felt like I had less weight when I had Soren over my shoulders.
I was flapping my arms very hard. yeah, and for the same reason, if I was in Dan's body, I would kick some stuff, kick through some walls and things like that with those those oak tree legs. Maybe I'd go on some dates. Maybe I'd just mess up Dan's life.
You would trot out these Brontosaurus gams for some dates?
Yeah. I'd use those to my benefit. I'd get some girls to see those calves, those bumping calves. I would go into Bumble. I would agree to some dates. I would go on some dates, and then I would never tell Dan about it.
I think he'd be really disappointed with Bumble because this is true. Bumble just emailed me yesterday to say that your profile is invisible now because you've been so inactive for so long.
Oh, Dan.
So I just haven't been using it.
I wonder if
sorry, buddy.
Okay, well, I'm not doing that. Boy, but that's a bummer. Maybe I would try and like cook some stuff and see if there's some muscle memory in that body and just like see what it would be like to be a really good chef. Like chopping up onions and knowing that muscle memory is there and watching how to do it. And I'd be like, oh, I see how to do this.
So you're trying to learn something to be better and I'm just climbing.
Well, you want to.
Because it seems nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because like, I can't get that high. My legs are too heavy. But Soren can.
Well, mine is more of a penance, you understand? Mine is there's a lesson to be learned from it.
Bacon, what's our next question?
Real quickly, Soren, I think your most controversial opinion you've expressed on this podcast is your vegetable bomb, where you just get a handful of spinach and squeeze it into your mouth. People reacted very strongly on both sides of that.
Oh, really?
They were either like, oh my God, I do this exact same thing, or like, what is wrong with you? Grow up, you're a child.
People do that exact same thing.
Yeah. That's the more startling one, honestly.
That's insane to me.
Now, if you find yourself listening to this podcast and thinking, what's so great about Soren and Daniel? I could do what they're doing. I'm going to tell you right now, buddy, you're probably right. And you can find out how to do that on Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community where millions of people come together to take the next step in their creative journey. With thousands of inspiring classes for creative and curious people on topics including illustration, design, photography, video, freelancing, and more, you can learn how to do just about anything on Skillshare. Now, Dan, I don't know if I told you, but I've been on Skillshare quite a bit over the holidays. I did one on animation that I found very compelling and very good. And it was really nice for somebody like me who came in with absolutely no experience to do that. And they were very open and welcoming. And it just felt like it was okay that I was starting from scratch, you know? Dan, geez, nothing. It's like this is pre-recorded. Anyway, there's another one I want to try that's on productivity, but I can't find the time, you know? Skillshare is a proud sponsor of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get 2 free months of premium membership. That's 2 whole months of unlimited access to thousands of classes for free. Get started and join today by heading to skillshare.com/QQ. That's skillshare.com/QQ. And one more time, that's skillshare.com/QQ.
Okay, this one is from @BanditSoul. They ask, present company excluded, which one of your former cast members do you feel more deserves more credit or deserving of the most success after Cracked?
That's easy for me. Michael Swaim is one of the funniest and smartest one of the funniest and smartest people I've ever met. And he's very charming on the spot. He's great at improv. He's also just kind of a genius. He's really well read and is like dangerously funny. And I don't know why he's not writing on a show somewhere.
Yeah, it's difficult because there's no one, none of the expats, none of the people who were at Cracked who are no longer there, who don't deserve a successful career writing or acting or directing or producing in some way. Michael is certainly a standout as someone who I just seems like tragically born in the wrong time. This is going to sound very lofty, but I feel like were he born in Shakespeare times, he wouldn't necessarily be Shakespeare, but he should have been born at a time where very wealthy people just paid for him to live the way that people paid for Shakespeare to live, where it's just like, I'm the king and you're very talented, so here's money for you to live, And all you need to do is create when you feel inspired to create and make things. That's the life that Michael should have, is just financially supported life while he makes brilliant things that no one else can come up with. It's unfortunate that he lives in this time of the internet and a content bubble that has burst thrice in our lifetimes. But separate from him, since Soren already took him as an answer, it's insane to me that Carmen Angelica isn't staffed somewhere right now.
Yeah.
She's probably my first call if I'm given a show, which I don't want to show. I don't want to be a showrunner, but if by some horrible twist of fate I was made a showrunner and they're like, you need someone who's going to be your first hire, Carmen, hands down.
Yeah, she's great. She's also great. I mean, when we write scripts back in the day, she's great at punching stuff up. She's also great in the room, just coming up with new bits, just like one after the other. And you're like, oh yeah, no, that's perfect. And so they're on story, they're on narrative, like they're great.
Yeah. And she has that thing that can't be taught and isn't like a talent thing, but it's just like, yeah, if I'm working on a story and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm happy to be around Carmen. Like if we're both stuck in the office at 4 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
I'm glad it's Carmen and not some difficult, problematic genius somewhere. It's just Carmen, who is as talented as anyone I've ever met, and it's also just pleasant to be around. Go Carmen. Everyone hire Carmen Angelica.
Yeah, and for Swaim stuff, he's at Swaim Corp, SWAIM_Corp. And I think you can support his creative endeavors through patreon.com. Yeah, /smallbeans. And he's doing some cool stuff with IGN, right? I just saw. Yeah, that stuff looked pretty neat. Are there any, we don't have to use this, but are there any actors that you guys think were are on their way to big things? Because I know that we, back in the day, before I got there, actually, Sam Richardson was on the show, or was on some of the sketch stuff as well, right?
Yeah, we used to do a lot of sketch with skits with Sam. I think Dan and Michael
skits.
And Dan and Michael and Jack discovered who Sam Richardson was at Just for Laughs. And they're like, oh, this, there's something very special about this guy. And we really worked hard to get him into stuff with us. And
it was very
so,
lucky. We so met him funny. At Just for Laughs. And when I saw him, I was like, hey, if you're ever in LA, let me know. We'd love to get you and stuff. And he's like, I'm moving to LA. I'm like, okay, great. It was like, I can't take any credit for it because it was like really easy. He's just like a very talented guy who wants to work. And we were lucky that he showed up in LA at the right time, and we just got him in as many sketches as we could. We also had someone, I can't track down his name right now, but there was a guy that we did a series of shorts at Cracked, Tales to Get Spooked To. Is that what it was called, Soren?
Yeah, Stories to Get Spooked By.
Yeah, Stories to Get Spooked By. That's right. We had one with this young actor, Philip Labes, in this one that I wrote about a stepdad that is a vampire. We just had him play like a young kid who was dealing with the divorce of his parents and his new dad, who incidentally ended up being a vampire. And I just saw him in Watchmen 2 weeks ago. He played young Wade Tillman in Watchmen.
That's exciting.
So shout out to Philip.
That's awesome. Okay, this one is from at Sandy Muckett, and they ask if you were if you were transported to the year 1919 and needed to convince someone, anyone, that you were from the year 2019, how would you go about this?
1919?
Yeah, that's not that far back.
What month?
Probably like January.
If it's January, I would say, heads up, Theodore Roosevelt's going to die in his sleep soon.
Oh, yeah. Your knowledge of history really helps you here.
If it's later than that, I would say Woodrow Wilson's going to have a stroke. And if it's later than that, I would say bet against the White Sox. 1919, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's Shoeless Joe Jackson. Is that really when they threw it?
That's Black Sox scandal, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
Do you remember, this is not related to the question, but do you remember we had one time at...
Hold on, are we just like moving past how fucking great I was?
I'm going to talk about it. We had, there was like a trivia contest. I tried to do like bar trivia and they asked, there was one, it was list the presidents from most recent president. It was basically list all of the presidents and which number of president they were. And I've never seen more people like turn directly to you to like save the day immediately. That was really impressive. That was very impressive.
How did I arrive there? Am I naked?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's Terminator 1 style.
Okay. So lightning bolts all around me. I'm on one knee.
You're Austrian.
they're naked in all of the Terminators.
That's a good point. Well, that ruins that idea. what can I convince them with?
You could say, hey, is June coming up? Because the Treaty of Versailles is going to be signed, ending World War I. Is that proof enough for you? You fucking plebes. You could say that, Soren. You naked genius.
I'm trying to think of anything I could do to maybe like save some people. Oh, get your money out of the stock market.
1919?
Well, they got a decade.
Dan, they have
a decade. They have until 1928, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's how you would prove that you're from the future? Take your money out of the stock market in 10 years? Ignore the roaring 20s?
Okay, hold on. When's The Great Gatsby written?
When is it written?
You're going to write The Great Gatsby?
Yes. Oh, I'm going to. Yes, that's how I do it. Whatever song I know on piano, Free Fallin' by Tom Petty. I'm bringing that out. I'm introducing it to them, and I'm going to be.
The question is not to get rich. Again, so you have to wait 60 years, 70 years till Tom Petty writes Free Fallin'?
Again, you need to prove that you're from the future.
Yeah.
No one's asking you to make money here.
Yeah, but I gotta wet my beak.
Wait, okay, can we just go back? Imagine you weren't naked. What was your original one that you said? Ah, gotta throw that away.
Yeah. So if I'm not naked, then surely there's some New World stitching I've got in my jeans, and that they would be pretty impressed by. Just my clothing alone, I feel like I could show it to them, and they'd be like, "Oh, look at that stitch." Yeah. Okay. This is something we've never seen before, and this would be very beneficial to have. Like, there's a lot of t-shirts that if you look at the side underneath the sleeve, they don't actually have a seam because they've been sewn through this process. Through like,
see, I feel like even if you write this moment, you currently in 2019 was sent back to 1919, the people would still be like, this clothes kind of feels like sort of 2006, no?
What are you wearing, a visor and cargo shorts? Oh, boy, when's the Titanic? I feel like there's some things I wouldn't even be able to go to a library and like look this stuff up because I wouldn't know how to use a Dewey Decimal System. I wouldn't know what's already happened and what hasn't. The rubber of my shoes? I don't know, man. I think I'm done. I'll be worse off in 1919 than I am now.
You wouldn't even try to prove that you were from 2019.
No, I would work at it, but I'd really have to think. I'd have to sit down and have a real ponder about how I was going to convince anyone of this. Because I'm not good. That area, that piece of history, like I am not clear on when things were around that time and what's already happened and what hasn't and what's not due for decades. Sorry. Oh, this is bad. This is really
who are you apologizing
embarrassing
to?
For
it's
me.
Fine.
Myself.
Sandy Muckett.
And Sandy. I let Sandy down.
Okay. Next question. If either of you were going to adapt anything, franchise or no, unlimited funds, what would your film or TV series be an adaptation of? And how long have you wanted to do it?
Why the Last Man, a graphic novel that I've loved since it came out. I years back thought I would, since we've talked about him already, thought I wanted Michael Swaim as York, as the main character. It's a incredible graphic novel about the end of the world. There's like some cataclysmic event that happens that wipes out all men on the entire planet. So it's just women except one guy named Yorick and his monkey, a capuchin monkey who is also male named Ampersand. And they're just sort of going all over the world, sort of trying to lay low because they don't want to draw too much attention to themselves. And they're also trying to figure out why this happened and why they were spared. And there are a bunch of different factions of people that spring up in the aftermath of the end of the world. And it's very funny. It's very realistically played out. Yorick is a close-up magician, close-up hand magician, which appeals to me as a fan of magic. And I've always liked it. I think it would make a great 2 or 3 season series on HBO, where I work currently.
You do? Tell me more.
I think Michael might be too old for it now, but I would still like to do it one day.
I would do okay. I would want to do a remake of the Iliad as a movie, but set as like a Friday Night Lights type of movie, where it's high school football. There's clearly all the same character analogs as there are in the Iliad, because the football feels like this last vestige of where people just destroy someone and then stand over them. And they're like, you're nothing. You are nothing. I am everything. And that was like something that was very popular in ancient Greek epics. Mm-hmm. And you can have all the same character analogs. You can have Achilles like drop off the team, cause he's just not happy with it. Like the coach got his buddy hurt. Got Patroclus hurt and he's like, nah, fuck it, I'm not playing. And the team just starts to lose badly. And you can have all the same analogs. You can have this other team that maybe they play early in the season, get destroyed by, which is like these Trojans. And then later they're going to have to play them again in the playoffs or the at state, whatever it is. And that's when Achilles is back. Like Achilles is so upset that he comes back and...
What's the analog for him murdering the suitors?
No suitors. That's Odysseus.
Oh, am I confused?
Yeah, Iliad is the Trojan War.
I'm
stupid. No, you are not stupid. I couldn't convince 1919-year-olds that
1919-year-olds
that I was a 2019-year-old. Yeah, it would be. I think you could make a really good movie around basing that on current modern day high school football, and it would be very, very cool and fun.
Hmm. Well, I think that's it, guys.
You don't have any more questions?
No, we're all out of the other ones are just long questions, and that's not on brand for us.
Did you hear that, Dan? Nothing. Did you just hear Bacon snickering at his own jokes in the silence?
It's a good joke. Hey guys, happy New Year, guys!
Yeah, happy New Year.
Okay, yeah, we'll wrap this up. Thank you, everyone, for listening this year. It's been great. It solved everything.
We did it.
My skin is better. I'm happy. I found love, and everything's wonderful. What should we say at the end of this thing? Which one?
Global warming stopped.
We did. Oh, that's very good.
We saved the planet.
I like that about us.
Yeah. So great work, everybody. I couldn't have done it without you.
Soren, do you have any listeners you want to shout out?
I haven't learned a person's name since 2006. Okay. So I don't think that's a good idea.
I mean, we met in 2008. So, you know,
I still call you Dan.
Bacon, any final words you have for us?
No, you guys are great. Glad we're doing this. Let's keep doing it.
Yeah. Listen, I love you guys. Is that weird?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, bye.